Meanwhile, really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss dogs and horses with today's guest, Melanie Sue Bowles, founder of the Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary, and whose latest book is The Dogs of Proud Spirit. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune, acknowledging that today we're planning to do the dog. It's the Specials, right here on Talking Animals.
Donkey,
do the dog.
Don't be a jerk.
Do the dog.
What should you work for?
Do that, do that, do that, do that, do that dog. Everybody's doing the dog.
Donkey,
to the dog.
Don't be a jerk.
To the dog.
What should you work for?
All right, that was the Specials with Do the Dog, an animal tune that eases into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Melanie Sue Bowles, founder and director of the Proud Spirit Sanctuary in Mena, Arkansas, and author most recently of Dogs of Proud Spirit, The Dogs of Proud Spirit. We'll find out more about the dogs and the horses of Proud Spirit when we speak with Melanie Sue Bowles in just a few moments here on Talking Animals. As usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a little bit later in the show, we'll step into the comedy order, play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of Melanie's new book. And we'll have a very brief chat with Rick Medina of Animal-Based Charities, or ABC, about two events they're presenting this weekend right here in Tampa. Right now, though, it's time for Animal News and Announcements segment, a detailed look at items of interest in animal news as well as announcements of events. So let's turn now to interesting and or notable developments in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international stories of note we want to call your attention to. We also welcome your comments, where you can share on the air instantly by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So, let's talk turkey, as it were, produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item involves Mike Tyson? Yeah! From the New York Daily News, Mike Tyson's new TV show is strictly for the birds. Tyson returns to the Brooklyn North neighborhood of his childhood for Taking on Tyson, a six-episode reality series that begins March 6th on Animal Planet. The show focuses on competitive pigeon racing, a world Tyson says has always fascinated and comforted him. His manager, Mario Costa, talks about how when Tyson was flat broke, he would go on the roof and spend a day, all day, actually, with pigeons. All he had was the birds, said Costa, and he'd tell me, I'm rich. A relaxed Tyson cautioned critics at a Los Angeles appearance, however, that the show is not about ordinary street pigeons. A writer who lives in Queens said she had pigeons all over her building and wanted to know how she could send them to Tyson in Brooklyn. Tyson laughed and said, "We don't even want your pigeons. The pigeons we raise are the creme de la creme. They have only the best bloodlines. Go, Mike." Another story ran, I think, yesterday in the Houston Chronicle about a thing at Texas A&M called the University's Stevenson Companion Animal Life Center. And for 17 years, the center adjacent to the university's College of Veterinary Medicine has been a cushy retirement home for pets whose owners have died or are no longer able to care for them. So at the moment, it's home to 21 cats, 16 dogs, and one llama. And it's the center is now poised for its second expansion in 7 years. So the director, Dr. Henry Presnell, said that 359 animals from 20 states are registered to become future residents. One-fourth of the center's occupants come from the Houston area. So, interesting approach. I mean, over the years on this show, we've talked sort of about the flip side, about encouraging folks to kind of look out for their animals with pet trusts, organizations like Second Chance for Pets, who really urge you to, almost as part of your estate planning, make sure you provide for your animals, give detailed instructions so that they don't suffer in the wake of something unforeseen or awful happening. And so anyways, any thoughts on that, 813-239-9663 or by email, dj@wmnf.org. Closer to home and kind of on the awful side, just to warn you. A Brevard couple faces charges after they left several dogs unattended for more than a month, police said today. That was in yesterday's Orlando Sentinel. Otega Stubbs and Kristen Miller each faced four counts of confinement of animals without food or water. Stubbs was arrested Tuesday at his home in Grant. A warrant has been issued for Miller, who also faces a charge of cruelty to animals because she owns the abandoned dog. Sorry, just trying to get something else corresponding up on my computer screen. And County Animal Services responded to a home in the 2600 block of Southwest Finley Avenue on Monday after neighbors complained that two dogs had been chained in the backyard. When Animal Services officers responded to the home today, they found two younger dogs locked in a bedroom of the home. And anyway, conditions aside were bad, bad, bad. So anyway, we'll move on to something a little more upbeat and fanciful. I want to let you know that Sue Pike, the so-called animal talker, a regular guest on E-Love's show right here in WNF, will be teaching an animal communication play shop at Yogani Studios in town here January 19th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and doing private pet readings January 20th at Yogani most of the day. And private Reiki healing sessions for people are available on Friday, January 21st at another location. So you can find out more by going to Sue's MySpace. It's myspace.com/SuePike, P-I-K-E. She also has a blog, animalchanneler.blogspot.com. And to wrap things up today, of course, remind you about the forthcoming second Talking Animals Festival at the Lowry Park Banshell, just adjacent to the zoo. It's going to be held April 3rd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and be about a dozen bands or so performing animal songs, pet adoption, nonprofits tabling, vendors selling, vegan and vegetarian food, speakers contests, and more. And among the other kind of cool things we're working out, happy to report that the Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT, will again provide $10 microchipping at the festival. Again, that's something I think if you to go to your vet, you'd expect to pay five, six times that. So that's very cool. Anyways, Applications to table or be a vendor can be found at talkinganimals.net. Just click on the festival section. They'll take you right to that area where you can download those applications. And if you're interested in being a sponsor, a volunteer, or otherwise getting involved or have questions, just email us at talkinganimals@wmnf.org. All right, so let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Eddie Izzard with a piece, fittingly enough perhaps, called Talk to the Animals on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
But, you know, whales, they're intelligent. They do whale song. We don't know what it means, but I think that whales are traveling at 78. They're traveling at 78 speed, and if we take them up to 45 speed, we'll find they're actually going, I love you, baby. And if it's quite all right, I love you, baby. Well, then I love you, baby. Question me, Robin. Yeah, they're DJs, you see. DJs of the sea. Because sound travels well in water, and they need a big PA to be a DJ, but they've got their whole bodies. Yeah, it works, doesn't it? This next song is going out to all the goldfish down by the Azores. I love you, baby. So they're intelligent, and dolphins, they're intelligent because we all saw the documentary Flipper. Well, dolphins came up going, what's that? What's that, Flip? Shanghai Check is having trouble. Mao Zedong has taken over mainland China. Chiang Kai-shek has retired to Taiwan with some of his followers, where they will have a complete disregard for international copyright rules. Is that what you're saying, Flip, or do you want fish? Because every episode of Flipper, he'd say the same thing. Always having a problem. What's that? What? A boy trapped in a well, trapped in the water. Three boys fell out of a ship, a small ship, a big ship. Two syllables. Big ship, small ship. Sounds like the deep. Bit like the deep, bit of shark. Jaws, da na na na, like that. What? Two, gone with the wind. Okay. And they were all like that. There was Skippy. Yeah. What's that, Skip? A boy trapped, drowning in a desert. Drowning in a desert. Ill, he's in a sandy place. He's ill, he's got a bad leg. What? Gone with the wind? And Lassie as well. What the, you know, all Lassie, Flippy, Skippy, all that E sound. Except for Flipper.
All right, that was Eddie Izzard with Talk to the Animals, taken from his CD Circle. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. We'd like it if you liked us. And our Twitter page. We'd like if you followed us. And there's also a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guest program news and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Melanie Bowles, as I mentioned earlier in the show, alongside her husband, Jim. Melanie founded the Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary, which began on a modest parcel in Florida, not too far from here, but now sits on 320 acres in Mena, Arkansas. Likely goes without saying that a multitude of horses have been well looked after at Proud Spirit, but less obviously maybe the place has been home over the years to many, many dogs, the focus of Melanie's latest book, Dogs of Proud Spirit. In the interest of full disclosure, I should mention that I provided a blurb for the book jacket of the Dogs of Proud Spirit. So, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Melanie Sue Bowles to Talking Animals. Melanie, good morning.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us, or coming back, rejoining us, I guess I should maybe say. So now we're ostensibly here today to talk about dogs, but I suspect more than a little of the conversation will perhaps also involve horses. So in fact, to provide us some important context, and maybe because the Proud Spirit saga really began in Florida, maybe you could just sort of briefly outline the history of the sanctuary.
Sure. Well, my husband and I earned our living as firefighters and in Sarasota County, and the job was somewhat stressful and a little bit exhausting now and then, and in an effort to simplify our lives, we decided we wanted to buy some land out in the country. Now, I was not horse crazy as a kid. I've always loved all animals, but everyone around us had horses, and I became intrigued with them and decided I wanted to bring one home. That began the journey, and that simplification of our lives, that's not exactly what happened.
No, I wouldn't say so.
300 horses later.
Yeah. And so, where, remind our listeners where exactly in Florida it all sort of began for Proud Spirit.
Well, we were east of Sarasota.
Right, okay.
In Myakka.
Right. And now you're in Mena, Arkansas.
Yeah, we, the sanctuary started off on 5 acres.
Right.
And we quickly outgrew that, and we moved to 50 acres a little further out. And after my husband and I retired from the fire service, we decided that we wanted to continue our rescue work, and we began searching for more affordable land where we could expand the sanctuary. And our search led us to Arkansas. It's absolutely beautiful here, and it was a lot more affordable than Florida. And we were able to purchase a large piece of property, as we've said, that allowed us to expand our rescue work.
Right, and so it's 300 plus acres at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And how many horses currently live there?
Well, right now we are nearly 70. We're at about 68.
Okay. And you, I think, kind of made a reference to this already, but how many horses would you say over the years that Proud Spirit you have helped, kind of all told?
Over the years, we've intervened on probably over 300 horses.
Wow! Yeah, and they come to you, or you come to them. What are maybe two or three of the most kind of common scenarios that you find those horses are more to the point, perhaps they find you?
What we deal with mostly is neglect. Someone owning horses, excuse me, and simply not feeding them.
Yeah.
And eventually, someone notices a starving horse and they call us or call law enforcement. And but that's primarily what we deal with, is just terrible neglect.
Yeah. Well, how many, moving right along to better, rosier things, perhaps, how many dogs currently are living at Proud Spirit?
Well, we have 12 dogs right now, and they're all part of the family, and they all live in the house, and they're all over the furniture.
And with 12 there, some might suggest you're sort of making up for lost time, by which I mean, the book sort of indicates you grew up decidedly not a dog person. I mean, maybe you could kind of describe your formative years with, kind of respect to animals that were and weren't around in those years.
Well, yeah, as we mentioned, I've always loved all animals, and I was raised to be compassionate to animals, but I was a cat person, admittedly. That's what I grew up with, and that's what I had as a young adult, and when Jim and I first got married, that's what we had, was cats.
You sound a little apologetic. I mean, those of us who love cats, and not necessarily in an either-or proposition, I don't look at it quite the same way, but...
Well, I'm not apologizing. I still love cats, but that's very funny.
Okay.
I'll have to watch my tone of voice. But I here's what I'll apologize for. I actually did not like dogs. I didn't dislike them, but I couldn't imagine living with one. I just, they seemed, they were just too much to me. And, they seemed like they were a lot more work than cats. You had to, rainy days, you had to wipe their coats off and or they would roll in something disgusting, and you had to bathe them a lot. And, you know, cats were so easy. Cats are just, you know, there's really no maintenance. You just get to enjoy their love and love them back. And dogs always just seemed like they were a lot of work. But then Jim found this stray hound one day, and she was emaciated. And he is an extremely kind person, incredibly compassionate, and he wasn't going to leave her in this parking lot. And so he put her in his truck and brought her home, and that began the turn of the tide.
Yeah, I mean, it really did. And since the book is sort of partly dedicated to Molly, it might be incumbent on us to spend just even a little more time sort of talking about Molly and sort of, you know, those earliest days when she joined the family.
Yeah, she was a beautiful Catahoula leopard, and we had never heard of the breed before, but this was a long time ago. This was, probably 15 years ago, or probably longer than that, actually.
Yeah.
But anyways, he brought her home, and she was filthy. She was covered in ticks and fleas, and she smelled, and I was so against keeping this dog. But Jim had fallen madly in love with her, and her with him. She just stared up at him. The very evening he brought her home, she just stared at him. Like she was madly in love, and he was like a little lovesick boy over her. And we, you know, got her cleaned up and made some feeble attempts to try to find her a home, adopt her out, but it was clear she was going to stay. And within days, literally within days, we were both so madly in love with this dog, and she ended up just going everywhere with us. We took her wherever she would be welcome, at friends' homes, or we took her on vacation with us, and she was absolutely perfect. Never left our side. We never even had to think about where she was.
And it's, you know, it's great to hear, you know, even though, again, it's some years ago, obviously, but you know, and the book, some of those scenes, you know, where you sort of, you know, paint yourself almost kind of in the guise of sort of grumpy curmudgeon, you know, in those first days of Molly, like with sort of, you know, little time or patience for this canine. And, you know, it's just hilarious, really, or improbable at the very least for anyone who, you know, knows you, has read your other books, or just knows, as you just said, that now there's 12 dogs kind of, you know, scattered about. So,
yep.
Come a long way, baby. So let's let our listeners know this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Melanie Sue Bowles, founder and director of Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary and author most recently of The Dogs of Proud Spirit. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. Questions about dogs, questions about horses, questions about sanctuaries. And their website, by the way, is horsesofproudspirit.com. So, also kind of seems to what, you know, an important jumping off point of the book and then theme for the book and for you guys might arguably begin with Gunner. I mean, again, partly because back then, again, the way you describe it is, you know, sort of you seemed, you know, not interested really. But Gunner only had eyes for you. but also he was a corgi, which becomes sort of a pivotal part of the story. Maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, Gunner and or just, you know, corgis. I mean, you and the Queen may be two of the most experienced, knowledgeable people on the planet when it comes to corgis.
Yeah. Jim's always making comments, though, that the Queen has a staff to clean up their hair. Mm-hmm. That's our difference.
I see. Okay.
Yes, Gunner was we were on vacation in North Carolina, actually, and Molly was with us, and we still just had Molly. She was the only dog, and we went on vacation and happened to go to a shelter there, which is kind of a long story, but we'll let the readers or your listeners discover that in the book.
Sure.
But we went to this shelter and we're looking at all these dogs and all of them were jumping up and down and barking and the noise, it was just, you know, it was deafening, the barking and the dogs jumping and leaping against the the metal doors of their pens, and but there was one little dog just sitting quietly, and the minute he saw me, he never took his eyes off me, and I walked past his kennel, and his eyes just followed me, and I was with a close friend, and she said, the way she determined, or the way she explained this, she said, "Melanie, he's looking at you like he wants to ask you to marry him." And
wow.
It was quite soulful. And Jim and I were not looking for a second dog. We did leave North Carolina without adopting that little corgi. He was a mix. But I couldn't stop thinking about him. And I called my girlfriend back in North Carolina, and I asked her to go pay his bail and get him out, and that we were going to come back up and get him, because I couldn't stop thinking about him.
Yeah.
And he's been with us. He's still with us, and he still looks like he wants to ask me to marry him.
Wow, that baleful look has continued. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was corgi number one. And how many corgis make up the 12 in the canine population there?
Well, there are five right now. Mm-hmm. We've lost a couple of old age.
Sure.
And, so you know, the numbers have kind of gone up and down and up and down, but we seem to keep circling back to this number 12. When we lost one, we kept getting. It was an odd little thing, and this story is also chronicled in the book. It was very odd how corgis, purebreds, kept coming to us, and they were stray. We never bought a single dog, and of course we do no breeding, but these corgis kept coming to us, these purebred corgis who needed a home.
Yeah.
Jim actually found one running down the street, running down the country road near the home, near our home in Florida, and he had a tag on, and Jim called the tag, the owner, and said, "I've got a purebred corgi here, and this is with your phone number on his tag." And the woman said, "We don't want him. We don't want him back." And so we kept him. Mm. Just all so strange. And then it just kept getting stranger. As soon as we moved to to Arkansas, after our big move, my vet office called me, and our new vet here in Arkansas, and there was a corgi there who needed a home. And I couldn't stand it. I brought her home. And Jim says, the first thing Jim said was, "Ah, the corgi curse continues."
Absolutely. And you know what? That kind of reminds me of a question I sort of had thought about when thinking about chatting with you again today, Melanie, is that over the sort of evolution of the dog part of your story and life, I mean, at what point did you go from sort of like, well, we've got X amount of dogs, 3, 4, whatever it might be, and, you know, kind of slowly or methodically or reluctantly even thinking about, you know, adopting another one, to where later maybe it's just like, well, we always have about 12. I mean, that, you know, was there a point in which you know, kind of just turned a corner and just said, well, you know, we like a lot of dogs around, and so we're always going to have maybe about a dozen?
Well, no, truthfully, this was never on purpose.
Okay.
And we're very conscientious about not taking on more than we can handle.
Sure.
And we've adopted many, many, many dogs out, so... these are the ones that kind of end up with us are the ones that are seemingly a little bit hard to place, or they fit in nicely.
Yeah.
We have found and rescued many, many, many more dogs than 12, and we've found them homes. But,
sure.
You know, it kind of becomes like a field of dreams. You open your home and your heart to animals in need, and they will come.
Yeah. Well, just even as you just described, how sort of disproportionately, you know, for a while at least, corgis seem to be finding you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, okay, again, this is Talking Animals. My guest is Melanie Bowles, founder and director of Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary, and author most recently of The Dogs of Proud Spirit. And happy to have you join the conversation at 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. And actually going to take one of these callers right now. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Melanie Sue Bowles.
Hi, it's a great show. Thanks for having it.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
I'm from Pinellas County, Nathaniel, and I have a question. I think I've turned myself, I've gone from really hating dogs to now I think I'm a dog snob, and it's kind of an evolution that's happened over like the last 5 years.
Okay.
Recently, an ex-girlfriend of mine, she's got this dog that's an American pit bull terrier, and this dog has so completely won me over. I love this animal. And so I've done a lot of research, and I've learned about the breed. I've known about the breed before because another friend of mine had one growing up. And so now I want my own, but she's got kids, and I can't take this dog away from the kids, you know, because that just doesn't never work out good for karma. But instead of, I've been to a couple different places like Pet Pals, and they're great, and I've seen a couple of other pit bulls at, you know, places to rescue, but now it's like I really want to know about the dog's parents. I really want to get the dog as a you know, a young puppy so that I can experience the whole spectrum of owning a dog. And I've done all the research. I know how to take care of them. I know how much energy and attention they need, and I'm all for it. This dog that I've met has completely converted me. I'm born-again dog lover now. But really, how seriously do I have to be about finding and the parents of a dog, and how can I go about doing it where I absolutely don't deal with a peppy, you know, a puppy mill situation. I don't want to go take somebody's spare dog who's not going to be a good fighter because they've been raising fighters. And, you know, I want to just get me an American Pit Bull Terrier from a family dog, a family situation where I can see both the parents of the dog. And so am I a snob? Am I trying to aim too high? Or am I,
should
I
well, that yeah, let's thanks for your question. Melanie, I don't know if you'd like to try to respond to that.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with being enjoying a certain breed over another breed. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I'm adamantly against buying dogs right now when we are sending thousands and thousands of dogs to be euthanized in this country every year. I'm just really against buying a dog.
Yeah.
There are so many that need a home, and you can find, there are rescue groups. You just need to continue to research it, and you can find every breed on earth has a rescue organization working on their behalf.
Sure.
You can find pedigreed, papered, beautiful dogs through rescue organizations. Just continue to search it. Keep putting it in Google and continue to Pet Finder. Go to petfinder.com. Many rescue organizations have, pregnant females where you can see the female. There's so many dogs that need a home.
Yeah, no, and I just like to second that. Yeah, I mean, of course, at this show over the years and even at the festival coming up April 3rd, I mean, we're all about adopting and certainly not buying. And again, the key thing that you pointed out is that there are now ways to sort of, you know, if you have a real specific dog in mind, you can still adopt. There's still really no reason to buy. And
you can adopt purebreds.
Yeah.
There's an enormous problem in this country. We continue to breed. And we keep letting our unneutered and unspayed pets get pregnant. The irresponsibility is astonishing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and then that just ends up with a very, very unhappy unhappy story. So, so Melanie, we're probably just sort of nearing the last moments of our talk here today. So let me ask you this. I mean, caring for all those horses, the better part of 70 at the moment, you said, and all those dogs, a dozen, obviously makes for some supremely long days, and I'm sure there's a lot of variables of animals and weather and other things, so I doubt there's any such thing as a typical day. But it might be really interesting to ask you, like, just to recount, for example, like, yesterday, what happened yesterday? What was yesterday like, just as kind of one slice of what life is like at Proud Spirit?
Well, we get up in the morning, and we immediately go check on the horses to make sure everybody's doing well, and our horses are turned out 24/7. They're never stalled. They function as a herd. So we get out there and we make sure everybody's doing well, and we get hay out to them. Yesterday I had to break ice in water troughs, and it's really just, and then we take the dogs, and the dogs can come and go as they please. We have a doggy door, so they're in and out as they please. But they come outside with us, and we, go for little walks and get them some exercise, and then it's the, you know, the yucky stuff, like picking up the yard and you know, taking care of things like that, and just basically all day long taking care of the critters in our care.
Sure. And it sounds like that you love it as much yesterday or today as you did, you know, all those years ago when it just sort of was the, you know, unfolded here in Florida.
Absolutely. You know, I truly, truly believe that this life we're given is not about ourselves. I really believe that. I believe it's about giving back to the world around us. And I think the purest joy is giving without expecting anything in return. And what better way to do that with an animal that relies on us for its care,
you know. Sure. Yeah. Well, that's boy, that might be just about the perfect place to leave the conversation. I certainly had some other things I was hoping to chat with you about, but we will have you, of course, on Talking Animals again because you are one of our faves and one of our friends. So this has been Melanie Sue Bowles, her new book, and this is the third, I want to say, Melanie?
Yes.
Yeah. The newest one is The Dogs of Proud Spirit, and the website is horsesofproudspirit.com. And Melanie, good luck. Thanks for everything you've done for animals, dogs, horses, and others. And somehow, I'm not even sure how you find the time to also be writing books, but that's very impressive. So good luck with everything, and thanks for joining us again on Talking Animals.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, this is Talking Animals, and I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to, of course, Talking Animals, where the website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of Melanie Bowles' new book, Dogs of Proud Spirits, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. We'll also accept the name of another fauna-related well-known project this band is currently involved with. It's Name That Animal tune on Talking Animals. We'll see who can identify that. Meanwhile, I just want to let you, this Friday, WMNF will start broadcasting at low power because of work being done on our antenna. Depending where you are, you may have trouble picking up our FM signal, and you might not be able to pick up our digital signals, Bulls Radio, or The Source. You can still go to WMNF.org to listen to our live web stream and archived programs. We expect to be at low power for 2 to 3 weeks. We'll still be on the air thanks to your kind contributions. All right, in just a moment, we're going to have a very brief chat with Rick Medina from animal-based charities, ABC, who has not one but two events going on this weekend. But first, before we speak with Rick, let's hear an animal song. We love the Eels here, an animal band with lots of great animal songs. In fact, the Eels singer-songwriter E has been a guest on this show, discussing his animal songs, his dog Bobby Jr., virtues of adopting animals, and more. So here's a song he wrote to salute his mom's passion for birds and birding. It's the Eels on Talking Animals.
I can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds. If you're small and honest,
from the Eels. I like birds. As promised right now, though, we're going to speak with Rick Medina of animal-based charities, ABC, which, again, has not one but two events going on this weekend. So let's welcome Rick. Rick, are you there?
I am indeed, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks for joining us. So first, I think it's probably good if you could just give us sort of the nickel tour of what exactly is ABC.
Animal-based charities was started about 18 months ago to give these small animal rescue groups, A, a voice, B, venues to get these animals out of the foster care and into forever homes. And that's what we've done.
And it seems like there's alliances with various organizations and events. Maybe you could talk just generally how that support that ABC provides works, either generally or in a specific instance or two.
Well, currently we have had as many as 68 rescue groups attending our adoption events. We have done two of them at the USF Sundome, biggest ones in the state of Florida. Those particular events have yielded 900 forever homes.
So great.
In addition, the adoption fees are all kept by the individual groups, raising some $60,000 plus in dollars just for the groups to take back home and save more animals.
Wow. 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 Yeah. And so it sounds like then you guys are sort of, just doing anything you can to sort of help foster, so to speak, those, in that case, the animal adoptions and, you know, sort of, almost like the conduit for more organizations, therefore more animals to find those, forever homes.
Yeah. Perfectly put, Duncan. We get them out of the foster homes into forever homes, and these groups run right back and save and vet, you know, an equal amount of animals, and we just continue to do it.
That's so great. And again, one of the things that seems really kind of interesting and notable about ABC is the events seem to really range from, you know, the small to the medium to the large. I mean, you mentioned the Sundome thing, which again, it's hard to get much larger than that. But some of these things are just sort of, you know, a little thing at a local, you know, restaurant and sort of everything in between. So maybe this might be as good a time as any just to talk about some of the things, the two things in particular going on this weekend under the ABC auspices.
Well, sure. Saturday, January the 15th, from noon to 5, the crew of Samuel Bellamy is doing a fundraiser for us at Gaspar's Grotto in Ybor City. There'll be some rescue groups there, and there'll be a pet costume contest, and very community family friendly. We are going to give away prizes and hopefully get some animals adopted.
And if I'm not mistaken, sorry to interrupt, Rick, but it looks like from what I could see that the costume contest element involves pirate wear, perhaps.
It does indeed. You know, the crew of Samuel Bellamy is pirate orientated.
Yeah.
And all the costumes are going to be the scariest or the most like a pirate or the most like a winch, and there'll be several categories that dogs can actually win.
Yeah, well, no, I saw some fairly swashbuckling little kittens in some of the literature and the promotional materials, so I thought, wow, this certainly not your standard animal event. So so again, that's at Gaspar's Grotto this Saturday from noon to 5. Cool. And proceeds from that, then again, benefit the animal-based charities. And then, kind of a running theme of today's show, as perhaps it should often be, is adoption. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about Sunday's event.
Well, animal-based charities, in an effort to create a little perpetual funding, has opened a thrift store at 4340 South Manhattan, which is just a couple of blocks north of Gandy. We're going to tape off half of our parking lot this weekend, and the animal rescue groups are going to come on in, dogs and cats. They're going to take the free space. And right now I think we're sitting at about 13 groups, which means we'll have close to 150 animals to choose from. And that is from 10 to 2 on Sunday.
Wow. So that's you know, such a great, just that. It's a lot of animals available, and I guess percentage-wise, you know, I don't know if it varies with the kind of event, typically how many at something like this, as opposed to the huge Sundome undertaking, you know, proportionally how many animals end up with homes? Is there some sort of general percentage you guys have started to see, or is it just really vary?
Well, if there is a general percentage, we sure hope that this continues. Our adoption percentages are really very strong.
Yeah.
We took 15 pit bulls to an event in December and took 18 applications on them. So first time in history for the pit bull rescue did they actually clear out and have people waiting for the amount of dogs brought.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Never happened.
That's great. No, it's really, really good. And I, if I'm not mistaken, the event that's this Sunday, I think there's some sign-up element that you guys are hoping to have concluded by tomorrow. Is that for the people that are bringing dogs, or what is that? I just referenced the sign-up, but it wasn't clear to me what the sign-up was for.
Yeah, that's for the rescue groups, just
yeah.
So I know I have enough space for them and
sure.
I'm organized when they get here, because as soon as they get here, we're going to hit the ground running and start adopting these babies out.
That's great. So again, I think people can find out both about that specifically for the event Saturday and Sunday, and just generally about animal-based charities at your really great, really comprehensive website. It's animalbasedcharities.org. So great, Rick. Well, gosh, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, and obviously just the great, great work. I mean, with those numbers of animals finding forever homes, that's just so gratifying and just so great to see. So thanks for all your great work.
It's our pleasure. It's our passion as well. And thank you very much for having us today, Duncan.
Absolutely. All right, we'll speak to you soon again, I'm sure, Rick. Thanks again.
Bye-bye, sir.
Bye-bye. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Again, we're now airing every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to noon. So we'll be back next Wednesday, January 19th, when our guest will be Michael Mountain, a co-founder and former president of Best Friends Animal Society, the country's largest animal sanctuary for domestic animals, and he's now involved with a new venture, Zoe. So we'll find out about that, and there's a lot of cool content and writing and interesting topics that they're covering and interesting projects that they're undertaking as well. So I hope you'll join me next Wednesday, January 19th at 11 a.m. for Talking Animals. And meanwhile, so visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter and keep an eye out for updates and announcements about the Talking Animals Festival. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the great Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music, now airing every Wednesday from noon to 3. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. And this is King Kong, Kong as in K-H-A-N, and Barbecue Show with Animal Party, taking us right up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his glorious, fun-filled Animal Party, right here on WMNF Tampa. Indeed, it was a rock and dance party on his first show last Wednesday, or a dance and rock party, whichever you prefer. So be sure to stay tuned to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa for glorious, glorious fun with Scott. All right, we'll see you next Wednesday on Talking Animals. This is King Kong, barbecue show with Animal Party.
Don't wait to turn, let the teddy move out. Well, I got a party.
That's King Con and Barbecue Show with Animal Party. Scott Elliott and the All Souls version of It's the Music coming up just after the NPR news, which itself is coming up in about 30 seconds time. It is WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening to Talking Animals and the rest of our programming here on 88.5 FM. We'll catch you next week, 11 a.m. Wednesday, more Talking Animals. Don't go anywhere. Scott Elliott's coming. Did I mention that?